I'll ask you to turn again, please, to that passage of scripture we read earlier, to Exodus, the chapter number 20. Exodus chapter 20. And with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us already today, and for the blessing of singing these old hymns of Zion, how they bless our hearts and they encourage our souls as thy people. We thank thee, Lord, now for thy word, and we rejoice that thy word is truth, that it is forever settled in heaven. And Lord, just bless us as we consider thy word today afresh. Lord, speak to my heart, speak to every soul in this congregation. Cleanse me, O God, afresh in the precious blood of Christ. Fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to preach and to declare thy word and thy truth. Bless thy word to saint and to sinner alike, to the salvation of souls, to the blessing of thy people, to the glorifying of Christ's precious name, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now our text for today is the verse number 8 of Exodus chapter number 20. It simply says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now last weekend, the headline of every news bulletin focused upon the heats for the cycle race, Giro d'Italia. And despite the fact that it cost over some £4.5 million of public money to fund, the media and indeed public figures have deemed the event a success. But irrespective of what people may think or what people may say, it was sad to see the desecration of the Lord's Day on the final day of those cycling heats. Indeed, our own town here in Market Hill last Lord's Day was packed to capacity with spectators of the race. And people, that all points to an increasing trend, which is a disregard for the observance of the Lord's Day, His own special day, throughout our province and indeed throughout our nation. Well, people, we must remember throughout the Bible, God commands the observance of the Lord's Day, or if you like, the Christian Sabbath, as a day of rest and also as a day of worship. And my, we are reminded of this command here in our text this morning in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 20, where it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And Exodus 20 is a chapter that tells of God giving the moral law, if you like, the Ten Commandments. And again, people, this is something that is paramount, that we must always remember that the moral law, the Ten Commandments of God, is God's rule for every society in every age, of both saved and unsaved alike. Sadly, there are believers today who will tell you that the moral law is no longer important or relevant. That's wrong teaching. It is contrary to the Word of God and to the testimony of Scripture. God's Ten Commandments is for all of society, in every land, every country, every nation, every continent, of both saved and unsaved alike, throughout the face of the globe that God has created. And the first four commandments, they relate to man's relationship with God. The last six commandments, they concern man's relationship with his fellow man. And in verses 8 to 11, you have the fourth commandment there in its entirety. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You'll notice the difference there of the fourth commandment from all the rest of the commandments. And the difference is found in the opening word, remember. You don't find the word remember in the other commandments, but the word remember is placed there at the beginning of the fourth commandment. And that shows to us that the fourth commandment is the oldest of God's commandments. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3 there, you'll see that it was instituted at the beginning of time when God created this world. Genesis chapter 2 and the verses 2 and 3 says, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now, until the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the seventh day of the week was to be observed as a memorial to the fact that God had ceased on the seventh day from his great work of creation. It was a memorial to the fact that God is the creator and the sustainer of this entire universe. But after Christ's resurrection, the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is then to be observed as a memorial to Christ's resurrection from the dead. Not only as a memorial to his rising from the dead, but also as a memorial to the spiritual rest that there is for all who enter into God's so great salvation. And in reference to the Lord's Day or the Christian Sabbath, our text this morning says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And people, for a little while this morning, I want us just to look afresh at God's Word. See what it would say to you and I about the keeping of the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. First of all, I want you to see the motives for keeping the Sabbath day. What are the motives? They are many. One of the motives is the fact that it is a clear command of God. Our text says, remember the Sabbath day. Those words are an emphatic command from the Lord. Again, over in the book of Leviticus chapter 19, God says, ye shall keep my Sabbaths. Again, that's a clear command. And here, believer in Christ, we are to keep the Sabbath because it is God's command. This is something God tells us to do. And our obedience in this matter is a sign that we belong to Christ, our Savior. Did not the Lord say in the Gospel of John, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you? We keep the Sabbath because it is God's command. We also keep the Sabbath day because God has given 6 days for all other employments. Look at what the Lord says there in Exodus 20 in the verse 9. He says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Why, we have 6 days to work. And why, there's no need for us to rob God of his day with unnecessary work. Again, another reason for keeping the Sabbath day is that in that fact we are following the example of God the Father, our Creator, and God the Son, our Savior. Look at what it says about God the Father there in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 20. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. On the seventh day, God ceased from his work of creation. Not because he was tired, because God is one who never tires, but because of the fact that his work was complete in creation. It was finished. It was perfect. The Bible says it was all very good. God set that example by resting the seventh day. And that was the practice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth. In Mark's Gospel chapter 1 and the verse 21, it says this, on the Sabbath day, Christ entered into the synagogue and taught. On the Sabbath day, Christ was found in the public place of worship. O believer, in keeping the Sabbath day, you follow the best of examples. You follow the example of your Heavenly Father God. You follow the example of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there's another motive as well for keeping the Sabbath day, and it is the example of the early New Testament church. In Acts chapter 20, in the verse number 7, it says, "And upon the first day of the week," that's the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, "when the disciples came together to break bread, to eat around the table of the Lord," it says, "and Paul preached unto them." It was a special day for the early church. Dear people, the early church of Christ has set a standard, a pattern, for you and I also to follow in the 21st century, that of keeping the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, special. But something else, another motive for keeping the Sabbath day, and it is this fact. It is a testimony to the world and to the ungodly. Turn with me over, please, to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And look with me, please, at what Moses says here to Israel about the keeping of the Sabbath. Verses 16 and 17 of Exodus chapter 31. It says, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant." Notice the next verse, verse 17. "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." It's a sign. It's a witness. Whenever God's people keep the Sabbath day, when the Sabbath day is reverenced and kept special, it's a sign, it's a witness to this ungodly world that God made the world in 6 days. It's a sign that Christ rose again the third day from the dead. It's a sign, a witness of the spiritual rest that is in Christ for all who enter into God's salvation. It's a witness and a sign of the eternal rest of God's people in heaven itself. The Bible says of those in heaven, they do rest from their labors. And dear people of God, let us understand this morning. Our meeting together in this fashion, in this house today, our keeping of the Sabbath day special, it is a witness to this ungodly town of Market Hill. A witness to the area around us of God's creating power in 6 days. You keeping the Sabbath, Christian, you're a witness to all around you that Christ rose the third day from the dead. You keeping the Sabbath, dear believer, you're a witness of the rest of salvation that you have in Christ. And our meeting together today is a witness to the eternal rest that every one of us who are saved will enjoy whenever we enter into heaven and enter into glory. It's a witness. People talk about witnessing. I hear believers talk about witnessing for this and that. The best way God's people and God's church can witness for Christ is to keep the Sabbath day special, to come to the house of God, to worship the Lord, their Savior, who's King of kings and Lord of lords. Indeed, it was wise of Winston Churchill to say that Sunday is a divine and a priceless institution. You take away the Sabbath, and now the country is known as a heathen pagan country. How important the Sabbath day is. There's a retired couple that I know living over in a large town in England. And as you know, England today is very much a heathen country. Thank God that there's still some resemblance of Christianity here in Ulster, but it is sadly decaying as well. But they make it their general policy, if the weather permits them, and if they've got health and strength, to walk to God's house every Lord's Day with their Bible in their hand before their neighbours, before the town, the community where they live, so they can be a witness for their Saviour to the town and the area in which they live. And what a way to witness for Christ. Yes, the motives for keeping the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. But secondly, as we move on this morning, I want us to look at the way in which the Sabbath is to be observed, in which it is to be kept. Well, let me say this, that the Christian Sabbath is to be kept as a day of rest. Look again at Exodus chapter 20 and the verse number 10. And look at what the Lord says there to his servant Moses. He says, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." to be a day of rest. People, let me make it clear this morning, with the exception of works of necessity and mercy, the Sabbath is to be kept as a day of rest. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and the verse number 12, Christ says, it is lawful to do well on Sabbath days. And that allows for works of necessity and mercy on the Lord's day. But apart from that, all other work is to cease on the Lord's day. That's the way the Sabbath is to be observed and to be kept. It's to be a day of rest, something else. The Christian Sabbath, the Lord's day, is to be kept holy. And you see that in our text this morning. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it speaks about the day, the entire day. The entire day of the Lord's day is to be set apart for the worship of God, for learning about God, and for thinking about God. I'm sure most of you here have read, or maybe not read, have even learned the shorter catechism. And I commend it to you if you haven't. But what does answer 60 of the shorter catechism say about the Lord's day and the keeping of that day? It says the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in public and private exercises of God's worship. And I say amen to that answer. It's scriptural, it's founded, and it's agreeable to the Word of God. And this was the very practice of Christ. This is how Christ observed the Lord's Day. Turn with me in your Bible over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. And to the verse number 16. And look at the example of Christ. Notice what it says about him on the Sabbath day. Verse 16 of Luke chapter 4. Here readeth the Lord Jesus. And what detail here Luke gives us about his observance of the Sabbath day. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, where he had grown up as a child. And notice the next statement. And as what his custom was. This was part of his life, growing up as a child and going into manhood. It says, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. That was Christ's example. He went to the place of worship where the Word of God was read and where it was expounded in his day and generation. Oh, people of God, may that be our practice as well. It's to be a day of rest. But it's not just a day of rest and doing nothing. It's a day for the worship of God, giving ourselves to worship God in his house publicly and privately, even in our homes. And dear people, let me say this, that if we are to keep the Sabbath day aright, it's important that we prepare for the Sabbath. Yes, we must prepare for the Sabbath day. And I believe we should lay aside our business and our cares earlier on a Saturday evening so that our minds are free to receive the Word of God on the Lord's day. Also, I believe we should go to bed at a reasonable hour on a Saturday night so that we're not tired when we come to God's house to worship the Lord. But more important than that, we should come with a prayerful heart, a prayerful spirit. We should pray for God's blessing upon us as we meet together in the house of God. We should pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us in prayer. Can I say that's why it is so important for God's people to meet in the public time of prayer before the worship starts? And again, that's why it is important, dear believer, when you come into the public place of worship and before you engage in the act of public worship, that you still your heart personally before the Lord in quietness and in prayer and seek God's help for the worship that lies before you. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 verse 1, the preparation of the heart is from the Lord. And it is a spiritual work. It's a spiritual exercise that we're engaged in our worship. How we need to pray that God will prepare our hearts to worship God aright. We need to pray, dear people, for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us in our worship. Remember John, the apostle, banished to the Isle of Patmos for his faith in a very inhospitable place. Yet the Bible says this in Revelation 1 verse 10. He testifies, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
If we have not the ministry of the Spirit of God, our worship is vain, it's empty. It's ritualistic. We need to seek God for the outpouring of His Spirit. Oh, dear people of God, if you and I were going to meet the Queen, there'd be much preparation made, would there not? We'd be preparing for weeks before to meet the Queen. But surely our preparation to meet with the King of Kings in the Lord's Day should be far greater. And surely that preparation is far more important. Oh, how we need to prepare for the Sabbath day. Something else in the observance of the day. People, we should keep the Sabbath day with joy and with cheerfulness. Remember what the psalmist said of the Lord's Day. He said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." He was glad when the Lord's Day came. He could say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Oh, people, we should never be begrudging in the giving of the Lord His day. We should keep the Sabbath with a spirit of praise and thankfulness to God for all of His mercies and all of His blessings. Does not the Bible say the Lord loveth a cheerful giver? He has given us 6 days to work, to labor. He has crowned our lives with multitude of blessings. In the keeping of His day, let us keep it with joy and with thankfulness. Count it a great blessing that we can come to worship God and meet together with His people in the house of God. The motives for keeping the Sabbath, the way of keeping the Sabbath. But something else this morning, I want you to see also from the Scriptures the outcome of desecrating the Christian Sabbath. What is the outcome, the fruit of those who desecrate the Lord's Day? Well, speaking upon this very subject, D.L. Moody, that great preacher and evangelist of a bygone day, he said these remarkable words. He said, "Show me a nation that has given up the Sabbath, and I will show you a nation that has got the seed of decay." And he was right. He was spot on when he said those words. I tell you this morning, dear people, the outcome is tragic for the person individually, for the family, for the home, for the church, for the nation that neglects the observance of the Lord's Day. The outcome is tragic. May we live in a day when the Lord's Day is being desecrated more and more and more throughout our nation. All kinds of unnecessary work are now being excused and being done on the Lord's Day. You have shopping galore today all over our province, all over our land on the Lord's Day. The end day now for sport is the Lord's Day, that the Christian Sabbath. People are involved in gardening work as well, spend their day in the garden. And sadly, there's more and more in the farming community. You find them out now in the fields doing work that could be done at another stage or another day of the week. And is it also not the case that more and more entertainments are being staged for the Lord's Day, for the Christian Sabbath? They're all on the increase. And God's house and indeed God's day are being neglected more and more. What is the outcome? Well, dear people, the outcome is that our nation and indeed our government are increasing in more and more ungodliness and wickedness. That's the fruit of desecrating the Lord's Day. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And when a nation rejects the Lord's Day, there's the seed of death upon that nation, spiritual death that comes from the fruit of sin upon the land and upon the nation. The Bible says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." And when the nation turns its back upon God and upon God's day, the seed of moral decline and moral corruption engulfs the land and engulfs the nation. That's the outcome. You think of Britain today, it used to be one of the mighty nations of the earth. That's no longer the case. It's just the tail and the dog, and it has to do with Europe and the rest of the world has to say. And one of the reasons is it has rejected the Christian Sabbath. You think back to ancient Israel, whenever they neglected the Sabbath day as a people, as a nation, what happened to them? They incurred the judgment of God. That was one of the reasons why God gave Israel up to 70 years captivity in Babylon, because they desecrated the Sabbath day. Turn with me in your Bible over to Nehemiah chapter 13 and verses 17 and 18, and you'll see that for yourself. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. And here Nehemiah speaking out against those in his return from captivity who were desecrating the Lord's day. And he stood against them. He contended with them. In verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 13, he says, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day?" And look at what he says then in verse 18. "Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath." And it was for that particular sin of profaning the Sabbath 70 years before, in particular, that God gave Israel up to 70 years of captivity in the heathen land of Babylon. Now, Nehemiah is warning them, "Do you want more judgment to come upon you and profaning the Sabbath day?" Those who turn their back upon the Christian Sabbath incur God's wrath. They incur God's displeasure. Again, you think back to history. Think of the nations of Western Europe. They were among the first nations in the Western world to reject the Sabbath day in the 1800s. What was the outcome? The judgment of two awful world wars were fought mostly upon their soil, and upon the soil of those nations back in the 1800s who rejected God, His Word, and in particular the keeping of the Sabbath day. You see, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, and if we neglect or profane the Christian Sabbath, we will reap judgment. We will reap divine chastisement. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And it's a serious thing when those who have the light of God's Word and the light of God's commandments turn their back upon the keeping of the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day. But one final thought I want to share with you, and it's the blessing of keeping the Sabbath day. We've read that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 11. It says, "For the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Again, in Isaiah chapter 56 and the verse 2, it says, "Blessed is the man that keepeth the Sabbath." God blesses those who keep His day. That's His promise. "I be resting from work, and the Sabbath man will be blessed in his health. His physical, indeed, his mental capacities will be revitalized." It is a proven medical fact that those who do not rest, they burn out physically and they burn out mentally. That is a fact of medicine. William Pitt was a great English statesman of a bygone day. He resolved that he would work just as hard on the Lord's Day and the Christian Sabbath as he did every other day of the week. That was his intention. He did that for a while. A short time, he took a stroke and he died. In the Gospel of Mark, Christ says the Sabbath was made for man. In other words, it's for his physical well-being. It's for his physical good. But not only for his physical good, the keeping of the Sabbath leads to much, much, much spiritual blessing. We cannot emphasize that enough this morning. It was John Bunyan who said, "Make the Lord's day the market for thy soul." It's God's market day for doing business in the hearts of many. Yes, by attending God's house and hearing His Word faithfully preached, in the course of time, there's been multitudes, multitudes of sinners who have been converted to Christ and converted on the Lord's Day when they heard God's Word. Again, in the history of time, there have been multitudes of backsliders who have been restored again to walk in fellowship and communion with God through coming to God's house on the Lord's Day to hear His Word. It is indeed a fact of history. There have been multitudes, multitudes of believers who have been edified and strengthened and encouraged in their faith and in their walk with God by keeping the Sabbath and coming to God's house to hear His word. That's the blessing of God upon those who obey His word and keep the fourth commandment. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And the verses number 13 and 14. And look at the promise here of blessing from God upon those who keep His Sabbath and observe it as He has decreed. In verses 13 and 14, the Lord says, if they turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing, notice it, thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. And there the Lord promises blessing upon His people who keep the Sabbath day, who take time to worship the Lord and meet with His people around His word to hear what God the Lord will say. God bless us. God bless us. You think today of the land of Holland. I'm sure some of you maybe have been there on holiday, but it's famous for its flat land, yes, but it's also famous for its dikes that hold back the tide, hold back the flood. You take those dikes away, what happens to the land of Holland? It floods. The water and tide comes in, it engulfs the land, it swamps the land. You know, just as those dikes protect the land of Holland from flooding and from danger, no doubt from death, people, the Sabbath day is a hedge, it's a wall of protection that God gives to a person in their individual life. It's a wall of protection to the Christian home, the Christian family. It's a wall of protection to the life of the church, and even further out to the life of the nation. It protects from sin, from evil, from temptation. All the allurements of this evil and ungodly world. You take away the hedge of the Sabbath, and the flood of all ungodliness and all iniquity and all manner of evil sweeps into that nation, into that church, into that home, into that life. Oh, people, let us keep the Sabbath day. Child of God, the Lord says to you and I, says, learn not the way of the heathen. And what's the mark of the heathen? They profane and they desecrate the Sabbath day. We're not to go that way as God's people. My, in our lives, wherever God has placed us, wherever God will call us to and lead us to, even in different parts of this world, maybe at a future time, let us be careful to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Maybe you're here in the meeting this morning. You're not saved. You know nothing of the rest of God's salvation. You have not the assurance of the eternal rest of heaven. Friend, I urge you today to come as a repentant sinner to Christ. Confess your sin to Him. Turn to Christ. Trust in His finished work. Trust in the blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord will save your soul. He will forgive all your sins. He will take you to heaven, but here on earth He'll give you grace to live for His glory and to keep the Sabbath day aright in accordance with His word and with His will. Oh, may God burn this commandment into all our hearts. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're going to close this morning by singing together hymn number 467. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and believe.